Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 6th. Terry Mattingly joins us here in a few minutes. Talk about media coverage of a new Pew Forum survey about the religious knowledge of Americans. Something interesting emerged from that, and Terry's going to take us deeper into what that survey discovered here in just a moment. One of the things that emerged is that, if you call yourself an atheist, you are likely to know more about religion in general than the remainder of the population. You're matched only by mainstream evangelicals who attend church every Sunday and Mormons, oddly enough. They know a lot about religion. The in-betweens, the none of the aboves, the nothing in particulars, they don't seem to know much at all. Now, what does this mean for us as a culture, or more to the point with Terry Mattingly, those who report on religion, what should they know when they read this survey? What should they learn about the religious in America and the non-religious in America? And what should they be telling us they've learned about this? How should they report on religion in America, given what we've known from the new Pew Forum on the religious knowledge of Americans? Terry Mattingly joins us. He's editor of GetReligion.org. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. And he's author of the book, Pop Goes Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You say that if you're going to dip your toe into the media coverage of this Pew Forum survey on the religious knowledge of Americans, you might want to ignore the LA Times. Why is that?
Well, this is a classic case where it seems like the editors or whoever kind of evaluated this didn't get more than past the top couple of paragraphs. You know, of even the talking points of this study. It turns out the study, as most surveys are, is much more complex than just simply like, hey, if you want to know about God, call an atheist, which is a snazzy headline and all that. But it's just so simplistic. And the LA Times, to me, had the story that put the least information in it, as opposed to, in this case, USA Today and the New York Times. Had pretty decent coverage, you know, down another layer or two, especially USA Today.
What kind of gaps need to be filled in here? What accounts for, as far as we can tell from that Pew survey, what accounts for knowledge or lack thereof on the part of Americans when it comes to matters religious?
Yeah, I just a couple of hours ago shipped my column for Scripps Howard on this, so it'll be coming out this weekend. And I took that exact kind of tack in my own writing once I had a chance to to get something up and rolling. There's several things here. One is that they had to oversample to find enough atheists and agnostics to even get a valid number to include in the survey. So they had to oversample for that group of people. That's interesting. Second, their category of unaffiliated people included another group, which I think is highly significant in this day and age, and that was the people who basically, when offered a kind of laundry list of options, there was this other group of people that took the option, nothing in particular. Now, nothing in particular ought to sound familiar to people if you've been reading surveys showing that there's this growing segment of Americans who call themselves spiritual but not religious. You've heard that phrase?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Well, it turns out the nothing in particular folks, when you talk to the folks who did the survey, they break down into two groups. And there's one group of nothing in particular Americans who are really quite secular. I mean, the difference between them and an agnostic is really cutting hairs. But then there's this other spiritual but not religious, nothing in particular crowd that calls themselves religious or they have some religious beliefs, but they're really the total, complete free agents. Now, the reason I find this interesting is that this group of unbelievers had one of the lowest scores. So, in other words, vague religion doesn't get you knowledge. When you're one of the people behind the survey, when I interviewed him, he stressed, and thus I wrote my lead for Scripps Howard. My lead is one of the most important facts to grasp about the small but growing flock of Americans who call themselves unbelievers is that most of them are converts. In other words, he was pointing out that something like 4 out of 5 people who call themselves an atheist or an agnostic were raised in some religious tradition. Thus, becoming an atheist or agnostic required them to make some sort of decision based on their own personal experiences or their own reading or all of the above. In other words, they are converts to a faith position, and their faith position is that there is no God. And anybody that knows anything about religion can tell you that converts are among the most knowledgeable people in any tradition. You find someone that shows up at the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church and was raised in some other body, let's say he was raised Southern Baptist, and all of a sudden he wants to be Missouri Synod Lutheran, that person probably is walking in the door after reading about, 10 books?
Yeah.
At least? Could probably tell you more about Luther than half the people that are in your pews. Well, in other words, that shows up with atheists and agnostics. They are, as the old saying goes, the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. The last thing atheists and agnostics are when it comes to religion is apathetic. They usually are highly informed people. You might disagree with them, but they've still got something to make their case. So in other words, these are religious believers of the strongest sort, and thus knowledge comes with it. Now, the flip side of that is that if you dig further into this study, you will also find that religious believers who go to worship more tend to also read more, tend to discuss their religious beliefs with other people more, and their scores were higher than kind of the generic members of their tradition. So a Catholic who goes to Mass every Sunday is infinitely more likely to know that their church teaches that the bread and the wine, when consecrated, you know, becomes the body of Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They're infinitely more likely to know that than your generic Catholic who may or may not go to church at all, yet shows up in the survey. That's not surprising, is it?
No, and it's interesting to me that it sounds like while there may be a lot of casual Christians or casual Catholics, casual Lutherans, whatever denomination you want to put on there, it sounds like you're saying when it comes to atheists and agnostics, there are very few casual.
Well, and if they are casual, they're the people who chose the nothing in particular. In other words, the folks that are not traditionally religious are kind of slightly anti-religious or whatever. The guy that I interviewed, Greg Smith, one of the senior researchers at the Pew Forum, he simply said that when you say you're an atheist in American culture, you're taking a stand, you know, in the context of America. And I think he's absolutely right about that. These are rarely apathetic people. So, in other words, you could say that if you want to know something about world religions and God, ask an atheist, but you could also ask a Southern Baptist who goes to church on Wednesday night to Foreign Missions Night all the time and thus knows a lot about other world religions, right? And so people who are highly motivated to know about religion have more knowledge and more information than people who are apathetic. That's totally logical, but you had to read further into the study to get that out of it, is my point. This point has also been made by Ross Douthat, you know, at the New York Times in a piece on his own weblog. And so I'm not the only person saying this. It's you just have to be willing to have some patience and read a couple more paragraphs.
How important do you think it is that, and here we'll just talk about the newsroom, that editors understand, whatever media it may be, that editors understand the landscape that is portrayed by something like this Pew Forum on religious knowledge of Americans?
It's really important. For example, let me give you a parallel. The point I made about the two different kinds of Catholics, you know, in this, even on in this survey, just that simple distinction, once a week Catholics versus everybody else. Now, translate that over to a story here in about another 2 weeks when you're going to start reading stories about the Catholic vote, right, heading into these congressional elections. How did Catholics vote? Well, if you look at a survey like this or you look at any other survey, that's just an exceedingly stupid question. Because there are, okay, are we talking Latino Catholics? Are we talking about Latino Catholics that are in the charismatic movement? Are we talking Latino Catholics who go to Mass 4 times a week? Are we talking about Latino Catholics who maybe go to their cousin's wedding? Are we talking about Anglo Catholics? Are we talking about ex-Catholics? Are we talking about cultural Catholics? Are we talking about Sunday morning, park your car, go to Mass, go home Catholics? Are we talking about Catholics that go to confession, lead adult Bible studies, are on the evangelism and confirmation classes, the rite of Christian initiation for adults committee? Who are we talking about here? You know, when we try to talk about Catholic voters.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll let Terry pick up right where he left off, what he thinks editors in newsrooms need to know when they look at this new Pew Forum survey about the religious knowledge of Americans. Folks, we got some good news today from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. It's the second bit of good news we've gotten recently from them. Thanks to our listeners, we received $650 through the Thrivent Choice Program. You can find out more about this great way of supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click Donate, look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Click on that logo, and you'll be taken straight to Thrivent Choice. There you'll find out all about how you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Remember, when you're there, search for Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues, etc. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by joining the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues, etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues, Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues, Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service and GetReligion.org, talking about media coverage of a new Pew Forum survey about the religious knowledge of Americans. Terry, I had to cut you off there at the break. I want you to pick up where you left off. You were talking about what newsroom editors should be learning, should glean from this survey about the religious knowledge of Americans?
Editors, at some point, have to be willing to say, the more specific our information can possibly get, the better. And at the very least, we should not use terms or generalizations that hide from news consumers what the actual factors are in the story. You know, when in doubt, be specific and never do harm. Never publish something that actually hurts someone's understanding of the situation. So this study is just one out of many of stories that kind of go marching past us week after week, where people just aren't asking they're not asking follow-up questions. Here's another one. Muslims think this. American Muslims are worried that so-and-so. Well, is there one Islam? I mean, are we talking about Muslims on South Beach in bikinis, or are we talking about people in Detroit in burqas? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, who are these people? Well, actually, we're talking about all of them, and we just averaged it out. Well, does that information actually tell us anything about Muslims in my area, or does it tell me anything about Muslims who make decisions for their community? I mean, give me some information, please, instead of just vague generalizations.
It raises something that we talked about last week on Crossroads with one of your colleagues at Get Religion, and it was pointed out that oftentimes the newsroom really only takes interest in religion and serious religious coverage, maybe even not serious religious coverage, during the election cycle. That's when it really comes into play. Your thoughts there, Terry?
Well, I mean, when people say that their newsrooms are not religious, that's crazy. There is a religion in newsrooms, and it's called politics. I mean, politics is how you change the world for the better. For the overwhelming majority of American journalists, especially in elite media, I mean, presidential campaigns are the Olympics beat Vatican II. I mean, so thus, when the Pope gets up to speak, you're looking for the one soundbite that in some way affects some political issue, and that is automatically news, because politics is the real world. Now, the Pope, in the same sermon, may have said something that will change how all Catholics in that nation worship, right? And may turn their pews upside down one way or the other. But is that, by definition, news? Well, I would argue it is. It affects the lives of more people directly. And that is, by the way, that popes tend to usually have more clout when it comes to things like worship and education and stuff than they do when it comes to politics, you know, in terms of being able to deliver the goods on their words. So, by definition, when the Pope speaks, what is the news in his remarks? So, this political template is just horrible. There's a famous story about this, in fact, involving Billy Graham. Years ago, Billy Graham went to Russia to speak as part of a conference about nuclear weapons. Classic event in his career. And this was at a time when Graham was beginning kind of post-Nixon to kind of think twice about some of his, you know, cultural beliefs. So he goes to this conference, and he made a major mistake. At the end of it, there was a press conference, and Graham forgot that going to Russia and talking about nuclear weapons is not religion to the press, it's politics. Graham is used to talking to religion reporters, and religion reporters speak religion for the most part. Political reporters don't speak religion. So Graham gets up, and in the midst of his remarks, someone asks the questions of, Dr. Graham, we notice while you're here that you haven't been critical of the Soviet government. And Graham tries to explain that whenever he goes into a country, he really tries to not hurt the local church. He doesn't want to say anything that will get the local church hurt. And in this case, he had been invited to the Soviet Union by the leaders of the Free Church. Now notice, Free Church is a technical term. Of course, that's the church without bishops. In this case, it was the Baptists of the Soviet Union and the Assemblies of God and Pentecostals, etc. People without bishops. So he was saying he was not there at the invitation of the Orthodox Church of Russia. Then, compounding that mistake, because nobody in the room understood the term free church, He said, so it's not like I was invited to England or France. What he meant is, I couldn't sit down with the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris, or I couldn't sit down with the Archbishop of Canterbury and have a conversation about what would be constructive. So Graham said, I was just careful while I was here to not say anything at all about religious liberty issues in Russia, because I didn't want to get the church hurt, the free church hurt. At which point, journalists marched out of the room and wrote stories that said Billy Graham had said churches were freer in Russia than they were in England or France. Now, can you see how that happened?
Very easily.
So I mean, that's, in other words, when political people are in the room, they're going to hear it politically. You know, the old saying is that when you have a hammer in your hand, the whole world looks like a nail. You know, when your prism is essentially that politics is the way you change things in the real world, you cannot listen to religious content and not analyze it for its political content alone. Does that make sense? So that's the overarching problem.
Two quick final questions, Terry. You have recently quoted Stephen Prothero of Boston University calling for a reversal of the religious illiteracy. If you had about a minute to address the editor at the LA Times and say, look, this is what you missed and this is what you need to know about Americans' knowledge of religious matters, what would you say to him with about a minute here, Terry?
I would literally just say the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. And when you looked at this survey, you needed to immediately say, gosh, remember those presidential elections, the one that said the more people went to church, the more they believed a certain way, and the less they went to church, they believed another way? Maybe there's something like that in this survey, that the practice of religion has practical, real effects, and that journalism can deal with that. And that's what I would say. Do journalism.
Finally, something that I'm sure you have an opinion on is I heard yesterday that Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post is actually taking a job with the Daily Beast, an entirely online news outlet.
Yep.
What does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, I was surprised. I was not surprised that he went to an online publication or something. I was surprised that he agreed to be bureau chief in D.C. What it says to me is that perhaps, and this is total speculation on my part, is that Kurtz has decided he wanted to be in a position where he could let his own opinions out in the open much more often. That he's tired of kind of staying in the American model of the press, and he's ready to wheel and deal and be much more open about his own beliefs and prejudices, which he can certainly do at the Daily Beast that he couldn't do at the Washington Post. We are headed into an age of European journalism more and more, which raises the question, who will do the basic reporting that we're all supposed to trust instead of these niche publications which essentially have journalists preaching to their own respective choirs of believers?
Terry Mattingly is editor of GetReligion.org. He writes a weekly on religion column for the Scripps Howard News Service, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest on Issues Etc., as usual.
You betcha. Talk to you soon.
Folks, most churches are putting together their budgets right now for 2011. It's hard to believe, but that year is almost around the corner. And what we would like you to do as an individual parishioner, as a pastor, as someone who serves on a board, consider suggesting to your congregation adding $1,000 in your budget, this next year's budget, to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. That would make your congregation one of the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and on the support page you'll find a one-page flyer that you can print off and take to your congregation as they're considering budgetary matters right now in the fall for 2011. Tell them about the Issues Etc. 300 and ask them to include Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in your mission or advertising budget. Thank you very much in advance for helping support Issues Etc. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute about in vitro fertilization. Then Friday on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I think religious illiteracy is a problem across the board, not only in newsrooms and for religion reporters and journalists in general. I can hardly blame secular journalists for knowing less than they should about religion and Christianity in particular. What really troubles me is religious illiteracy among Christians, even Christians who think or should know better about their own religion and other religions. Part of what Issues Etc. is here about is to help you know what it is you believe, what it is you should believe, and what it is other people believe, and how to give an answer for that. You know, if it keeps going this way, the church will know so little, it will have so little to say. And the church, especially Christians, of all people, should know, thoroughly know, what it is they believe. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.